When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Virginia DeVegas, and you're listening to Tobin Tonight.
First thing I want to ask you, Derek, is I've gone back 10 years to realize, like, I've done this with Bob Saget before Bob Saget passed. I let him know that he has been always a part of my life. My dad was like, I'm your dad. I'm like, no, listen, that's my TV dad. Like, yeah, he's been with me from like Full House to, I think it was like America's Funniest Home Videos. And then How I Met Your Mother. And I was just like, you've been there the whole
time. Wait, Bob Saget went to How I Met Your Mother?
He's the voice.
Oh, he was the narrator.
Yeah. So always part of my life at some point. But this is where it brings into you is the different stages of my life. So from going from Carlton to Loyalist to Algonquin to what I call my adult years, you have had a song that is almost either dropped or at some point I've like heard it on the radio and be like, yo, that's I totally relate to that.
Well, man, that's such a pleasure. I really appreciate that. It's pretty weird. Like, I mean, honestly, just like listening back to, you know, the vinyl and like hearing all the music in sequence.
Yeah.
Is like, it's pretty bizarre to think of like a decade in music. And, you know, for me, I also have all of those memories in my own life and like what chapters I was in. So it really is just a blessing that, you know, it's been able to, you know, make its way into other people's lives. It's like truly a gift.
Well, it's not only that, like you can, like for me, so for example, like I can listen to like Blink 182, Avril Lavigne, and you know it at a certain time frame and like what you're going through. Or sometimes you just like the song. But I remember the first time I listened to like We Are Stars, I think I was on a bus and this is like year three of Carlton. So like right across the street from us, or I guess like our neighbors were like four or five girls and they were just not, they just didn't like me. They weren't like digging me. I don't know if it was like a Newfoundland thing. You know, they didn't get the friendliness. And I was like, man, I was like, I just need like a kind of like a cheery song right now. Cause I'm just listening to like all this depressing stuff. And then it was like Hot 89.9 was just like, yeah, here's the new like Virginia to Vegas or here. And then I was just like, okay, who the fuck's this guy? And I was like, oh, this, okay. And then I was like, listen to that song. And then another period of time comes and then you got like Just Friends. And I've made a couple friends by this point, hopefully at like Carlton and Spices. And I was like, yeah, like there is a girl that's like, you know, what if we just kind of did this stuff? And then like, I'm only giving you like some examples here. And then there was like Better With You, like during, I guess I call it like the COVID time frame.
It's but very like, COVID time frame. Yeah.
I was after like, at this point I had moved from Ottawa back to Newfoundland, got a job and I'm in probably what 2020. So I'm 29, maybe turning 30 or just turning 30. So you're kind of thinking like, oh man, like I had a ball hockey championship, had fun playing soccer, had the time at Carlton, wasn't invited to a lot of parties, but you know, still had fun. And then this whole like reminiscence of, I didn't even see the music video. I was just kind of like the song first. So then I was just like, oh, so yeah, I was like making my own music video on my mind. I was just like, all right, now I'm sad.
Oh
yeah. But in a good way, it was just always like good memories, sad, but now we'll just go back to We Are Stars and then we'll go.
We Are Stars yeah, will pick you up.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go through the whole time frame. So I was just like, what are you doing? I'm just like, I am setting myself up for sadness, but then just bringing it all the way back to happiness. And they're like the whole day. I'm like, shut up, leave.
I mean, music is like, you know, like if you think about creating music, it's kind of like, I always think of like the arc of a movie. It's like, there's gotta be, you know, things that, you know, build tension, release tension, make you happy, make you sad. And I feel like, you know, especially when you're creating a body of work, you want to take people on a bit of a journey. You know,
yeah.
At least that's how I've always tried to approach like putting together a body of work. So Yeah, I mean, Better With You is bittersweet sad. It's, you know, it's a song I wrote. It's not a love song. I wrote it about my dad, and my dad had passed away. And it was like, you know, I wish he would have had the opportunity to kind of like see my music career get to the next level, because he was only there for We Are Stars. And then there was like a few year lull in between where he got sick, and, you know, I wasn't able to, you know, to get anything off at radio. It was like nobody, you know, everyone was kind of through with me after We Are Stars. And it was like, I was wondering if I was going to be a one hit wonder. And then my dad kind of like got sick. And after he passed, it was like, you know, I just poured my life into music and, you know, was able to build another 10 years.
So I'm interested in that, like when you mentioned like one hit wonder, because like, you know, sometimes like I grew up in the 90s, 91. Mm-hmm. So like some people will say like you'll listen to a certain song, and I guess you can argue that they're like one hit wonders, but they're still like, if that's your one hit wonder and it paid for like the rest of like whatever you want to do,
sure.
Great. But like take me through that time frame or process. Like, how do you kind of get out of that mind state? Because some people just be like, yo, I'm happy I got that one hit. Let's go on to other things. Let's go do stuff. But like, how do you then kind of escape that little tunnel of like, one hit wonder? Like, how do you get out of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, just like anything in life, not just music, I think, you know, everybody's got insecurities and doubts, and that's just like part of the human experience. But for me, I mean, doing music was, you know, I worked 1,000 different jobs. I worked in a factory. I worked at a grocery store. I worked at fundraising. I was a tour guide. I like, you know, I did every job to pay rent and pay bills. Yeah. And, you know, but it was always with the ambition of doing music. Is like, I want to write stories and perform and connect with humans. It's like the thing that I love the most. So even though those insecurities and doubts and moments of you know, doom and gloom were there and present, as every human has, you know, I just kept pushing through, perseverance, and said, you know, I'm gonna keep trying to write songs. And you know, some things you can't, I had a conversation last week, some things you just can't attribute to your own hard work or your own dedication as well. Some things are just dumb luck, or, you know, something or someone watching out for you in another, you know, playing, whether it's God or my dad or, yeah, or whatever, you know. And it's just like, I can't help but say what a fortunate life I've had. And that's including all the hardships as well.
Some days I feel like it's not so much as dumb luck as it's like someone actually getting you like, oh, well, we gave him a lucky day today, so let's throw him a curveball. It's just
maybe it truly is a video game and we're living in a simulation.
Yeah, it's just like he had a good week last week, so let's throw him a little bit of an oddball today. It's just like he had an interview at like 3:30 or something. It's like, yeah, how about we cut out his power? It's like,
fair.
Like, why? And then like someone's upstairs like, yeah, exactly. Told him, got him today. And it's just like, okay, thanks.
Keep like, it spicy.
I want to ask you, because I know it's been over like 10 years. You have Time Out now. Now, is that one also attributed to your father?
Yeah, I think Time, like, you know, Time speaks to the decade of like experiences and memories traveling around the country. It speaks to my childhood. You know, I used to have like really good philosophical conversations with my dad about, you know, well, if you make it to the end of the universe, what's on the other side?
Okay.
You know, so, you know, those were the kind of conversations that we would have at, you know, midnight or whatever, when we were sitting on the front porch. And
you were only 10 and you were eating like, you know, cereal, and you were having these conversations. Yeah.
I had big questions as a kid. I don't know. And you know, he had a wonder with the world. So, you know, the last film that we saw together was Interstellar.
Okay.
And it's a pretty heavy concept movie, but it, you know, it talks about theory of relativity and family and, you know, tragedy and, you know, what would you do and what do you have control over? And so Time is kind of, you know, my synopsis of life and loss and how time seems to have a funny way of going faster and slower, and you have no control over it.
I like your version of the answer, because like I sometimes feel like, you know, different artists relate to different things or have like a certain song, and then they'll explain the song to you. But like, so Dean Brody also has a song, I think it's called like Time. And it's kind of like the same aspect. Like now, of course, country kind of, I guess they kind of give you more of a storytelling aspect. Like the, I call it true country.
Yeah.
And like Dean's song, it's more or less like explaining a time of like, you know, you worked overtime and your kid had like a softball or a baseball game and you're like, yeah, no, I'll get the next one. Mm-hmm. And then it's like next minute they're on a championship. It's like, sorry, dude, I got to go across state to do this. And then it's like, I'll get you the next time. And then next minute it's like, all right, I'm ready to play baseball. And they're just like, dude, this is my last game of like high school. Like right. You missed it. And it's like, fuck. It's like, I thought that I had time. It's like, but you don't.
There's a really good song by Donovan Woods, another Canadian songwriter, that it's called Next Year. And it's similar concept, but it's true. I mean, that's like, you know, it's just one of the things that we're all dealing with is like, how do you prioritize your time? And my spin on it is, you know, just trying to make notice of cherishing the time that you have and cherishing the people that you spend it with.
I want to ask you your own kind of synopsis or I guess time frame of going over the last 10 years. Like, because I went back and looked at some early interviews. Now, I wore green because it was St. Patty's Day, but I didn't know like 10 years ago you said your favorite color was green. So I'm assuming, has that changed?
No, I don't think so. I like green. Yeah, green's a good color. Yeah, and I got a green hat on for St. Patty's Day as well.
The other thing that I was going to thought was interesting, and it's not just you that does it, but I bring it up to anyone who ever has. It's like, I think the girl was interviewing, she wore green, and you were like, yeah, we've been to Vancouver, and then you went, Newfoundland. And I was like, please tell me, after 10 years, someone has told him how to say Newfoundland.
Well, I think, I know you are from Newfoundland. Yeah. But, I thought it was Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Because Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Not Newfoundland.
No. It's just that I've been so often to Ontario where I have got it now confused, where I come home and it's just, I guess it's the accent makes it like, you know, Newfoundland. It just rolls off your tongue. But then people will be like, yes, I loved my time in Newfoundland. I'm just like, there has been Newfoundland. Where? And then they're like, no, your province. I think the
Newfoundland would have been a very early interview because I do remember playing a show in Newfoundland.
There you go. Perfect.
And I remember saying like, what up, Newfoundland? And I remember the radio host out at the end of the show was like, bro, you know you're saying the name wrong. I was like mortified. I was like, no.
That is the equivalent to the first time that I went on Algonquin College Radio. Uh-huh. I had a communications degree at this point. I had a sports journalism diploma. And then they're like, okay, you have to do a traffic update. I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, everyone has to do it. I was like, okay. And then I went like, yeah, look, be clear of the highway 415. And they're just like, that's about right. And I'm like, okay. And then some other kid's like, how would you actually say it? And then it's like, just say it like you would. And I was like, okay. I was like, be clear of the highway 415. And then instantly we didn't think anyone was listening because it's like a college radio and someone calls in to like, can you tell the guy who's doing your traffic updates to just say 415? I was like, oh. And then even going to Carlton, I've never had to like say the street name. Mm-hmm. And I used to go like, yeah, we're over by like Colonel or like a Colonial By. And they're like, what the fuck is Colonial By? And I was like, Colonial By, you know, we're like Carlton's too. And they're like, you mean Colonel By? And I mean, was just like,
there's a problem with that word to begin with. I mean, something about Colonel has never sat right with me.
No. Just like if I was spelling Colonel, well, actually, don't make me spell Colonel. I would just be like, you know, like K.
Popcorn, kernels.
Yeah.
K-E-R-N-A-L. Sounds like how you say Colonel, not Colonel.
People just looking at you like, are you from here? I'd be like, no, I'm not. And then they'd be like, you're right. I can tell the accent.
Yeah. I'm my best.
But like, do you have experience now over 10 years time where you've kind of either like kind of, I guess, shown a bit of growth or something that you're like, man, 10 years ago, I didn't know that, but now I do.
I think I'm probably a little bit less brazen. I think when I was younger, I kind of had like a blind confidence, which is like something that I was like if I look back on it, you know, it's a little bit like, whoa, I wish I never said that, or wish I never did this, or wish I never acted that way, you know, but then you move along and you go, you're kind of proud of yourself as you you get older and you go, you know what, but I needed to be that way to get to this version of myself. And, you know, I'm in my mid 30s now, and I'm kind of like, you know, just really starting to get along with myself, you know? And I think it's kind of a fun thing as you get older to be like, hey, like, I like you, Derek. I like you too, man. You know, it's kind of nice.
Someone walks in while you're talking to yourself in the mirror. Hey, you, I like you. Don't change. You are great. And someone walks in. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, got to prep myself up for today, man.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Some affirmations and just being like, you got this. You got this, Tobe.
Yeah. I am a hockey or a ball hockey goalie. So there are times when I come home from like letting in 8 goals, it is the opposite, looking in the mirror and be like,
sure,
you fucked it up. What the fuck is wrong? And someone's just like, are you planning to talk to your bully today? I'm like, it's right there. He's right there. I am talking to him.
I get my aggression out in Fortnite.
Fortnite. Yeah. I play a lot of like NHL games, and like you can even like make the settings where it's so easy, but I still get mad when you're like 30 seconds left in the game. Like Marc-Andre Fleury is working out a shutout, and the next minute it's just like, what? Why? And they're like, you controlled it. I'm just like, shut up, Michael. Like 10-year-old nephew watching you play and be like, I told you he'd score. I'd be like, get out of the room. No, play some Virginia to Vegas. Make me happy again.
We are stars, baby.
Yeah. Virginia to Vegas, the name. Like, I know that you weren't necessarily born in Canada. I think it's like West Virginia you said you were born?
Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, Richmond, okay.
Yeah.
But like, and there used to be another fella in this band that was Vegas.
He was so Vegas, yeah.
My question is, have you kept up with Vegas? And why didn't you just change the name to Virginia to Guelph? Or was that not as catchy?
The alliteration was important. Yeah, I still keep in contact with, his name's Dave. And him and I are still, you know, pretty good friends. He's doing really well. He lives in LA now, and he did that big Bella Poach, like the TikTok girl that had that song, Build a Bitch, and it's a great song. He produced that, and then he like went on and did some other really cool stuff. He did like a Nick Jonas song, and he's been super successful. He's kind of just like, the thing with Dave is like, he never really wanted to
be a front guy.
No, I didn't. Yeah. He didn't really have that thing, that desire. And although he was good at it, he had several solo projects. I think like really where he jumped into his like acceleration as like a musician and a writer was, you know, in the studio helping other people create. And he was so good. I mean, when we started working together, gosh, I could barely sing a pop song. Like he coached me so much, and he was so musically talented. Just a brilliant guy. So yeah, we still keep in contact, and I'm so proud of him. He's done really well for himself, and he's been hustling and grinding for years.
It's funny how that works, because it's just so like, I guess in somewhat a relation, and then you can kind of interfere and be like, no, Tobin, you're fucking wrong, not even close. But like, I grew up and I love the band Wave, and I remember like California, and there's like a few others. I definitely know I have them on my like iPhone, but I remember like asking them when I first started this podcast, I'm like, man, like I think it would be interesting to have a conversation with both of you. And I think one of the guys now is like more of a producer, and he's like, dude, like, no, I'm just not in. Yeah. It's like, I'm not in that realm anymore. And like the other guy is just like, kind of like, don't hear from it at all. I know he has a Twitter, but it's like very rarely updated. I was just like, that's so weird to me though. Like for one guy to just be like, I'm going to stay in this, but don't want to be in like the kind of like the front load anymore. Mm-hmm. And one guy's just like, just gone. It's almost like one day he's just like, here's a song for you. And then I'm somebody that you used to know. There you go.
I think I remember, I think he went on and just like did a different career. The other guy, but Dave's also a good friend of mine. Dave and I wrote Lights Out together.
Okay.
And I think we wrote another one. We've written a bunch, but Dave's a great guy. He lives down in Nashville. Does mostly country records.
He was super friendly to converse with, like, you know, because he can't, like, I thought, like, you know, this is about, say, about 10 years ago. And then, like, you're new. You're just starting a podcast. So you're like, I'll reach out to him. And you're like, he's not going to fucking answer. Like, no one answers. And then the next minute, he's just like, yeah, I'm just not doing it. And at first, I was like, this fucking guy. Like, he just, like, I'm just not big enough for him. And then he's like, no, he's just like, I just don't do it. He's like, I'm just more of a behind the scenes guy. And, like, Now, 10 years later, like if I got sick of doing this one day, I'd be totally okay with helping other people do podcasts. And if someone's like, let's go reach out to Brian, he had like a niche thing. And maybe I'd be like, you know, 42 at this point and just be like, I don't do that. It's nothing against you. It's just like, I'm just done. Just different time frame.
And that's fair. Yeah. You know, people go through different phases, and that's totally fair.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The changing of the landscape, of course, with music in the last like 10 years, because I know you're one of like, I guess, a few artists that we've had on that I can kind of like elaborate this with a bit, but vinyl seems to be making a comeback. I see a lot of artists kind of promote vinyl, and I don't know if it's just things that people collect. I'm not really a big vinyl guy. I will still download music, but I am finding it upsetting that it's like, I want to go out and buy an album, and sometimes you don't get the album. It's like, I download songs, but it's so funny to me in a time frame that you'd go out and buy a CD and you'd get like 6 or 7 songs that you like, but the artist still benefits from it because you bought their album. Do you find now in a world where like people like download songs, again, same thing, vinyl makes a comeback, but like, where essentially do you find yourself, I guess, making the most impact or I guess money in your pocket? Like, is it more you want people to buy vinyl, or are you kind of like, dude, here's all my singles, download them, got it, go?
I think it kind of varies. I think the, you know, the vinyl wasn't like, it's not driven by a monetary, you know, purpose.
Yeah.
Like the vinyl is driven by, you know, the desire to create a, you know, like a physical, tangible piece of art for the people that have been around for a decade and like say, hey, here's a thing that you can hold on to, and here's the songs that you liked. And, you know, I designed the vinyl myself. I shot, you know, the artwork for the vinyl in my living room with a good friend of mine, Steph Montani. And for me, that was that process. It was a process of like really just creating something tangible that people could, you know, hold on to, because the idea with, you know, digital information is, you know, if the power goes out, that you don't have access to that information anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's fair. That's true. I just know, like, because at one point when I was younger, now I have two older brothers, but they used to have all the like CDs. They could be like Goo Goo Dolls. It would be like, so sometimes your cousins would leave one over. So like Backstreet Boys, not saying that that's the reason I would listen.
Hey, Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. I like, if someone gave me a Backstreet Boys CD or whatever, now I'm just like, I'll wear it out within 2 days. But like you'd have like NSYNC, all this, and like it's a different genre, but like you'd kind of feel proud to kind of come into, like your friend would come in a room and you'd be like, look at these, and then they'd like kind of gloss through it and be like, okay, like let's see some songs. Now it just feels like you show your friend a phone, like, and then you just like scroll down through it and be like, okay, oh, Lil Wayne, okay, cool. And then it's just like, dude, you went through my library in like 5 seconds.
I heard someone explain, but they're basically saying like, if you share a song with someone online or like through your phone, you text them a song, like the person's going to digest that song, but they might not necessarily remember who shared that song with them.
Yeah.
But like the act of like giving someone an album or an LP, like that album now belongs to both of you. And every time you play that album, you know, so you drop it on the turntable and the needle hits, you're going to like have that thought of, oh man, my friend, you know, my friend Mike gave me this LP, this like, you know, this vinyl. And, you know, it's like a bit of a personal thing. So it's kind of cool. I mean, I'm not a huge vinyl guy. I've got like, you know, I've got like maybe 10 or 12 vinyls, and I have like a little cheap Audio Technica, you know, player that I have, you know, my favorite artists. But there's something about having the artwork and reading the liner notes. And you know, when I was a kid and I would like go to the record store, like The Beat Goes On, or HMV, or whatever, you know, whatever the scenario, Music World, oh my gosh. If I would go to these stores, I would like, you know, I would just be in awe when I put on the headphones and I'd listen to the album and I'd And I'd open the book and be like, man, this guy mixed this record and this guy produced this record. And I would live in the world of that artwork. And it felt like an era for that artist. Yeah. And I just think there's something kind of special about the tangible aspect of, like, you know, something that an artist created. It's like, here's their work.
Well, I feel like now, like, I guess the last 10 years for me, it's like, if you download a song, like, you feel it personally. You, like you said, you might share it with a friend. Like, I know when I think it was like Pitbull and Kesha came out with Timber, I was like, man, this is going to be my anthem for like as much as I can. And then you'd share that with a few friends. They might like it. They might even turn it up. But it's not the same, I guess, the experience of, like, I had a friend that moved out to Alberta when we were young. And so it's different radio stations. As a kid, you don't know the difference, but it's just a popular song. So obviously the radio stations both played it, but it was like things like Boys Like Girls, Soundtrack to My Summer. And then there was like Thunder, and it just happened to be rainy outside. And this is my mood. And then I'm like, you know, on MSN going like, yo, what song is on your radio? And she's like, oh, Soundtrack to My Summer. I was just like, same down here. That's so cool. But like, you remember it. And I remember my mom giving me like an Ashley Simpson's CD for Christmas. That did not go over well. But then she, you know, she made up for it. She gave me a Simple Plan CD.
I mean, her boyfriend at the time, he had this song called, what was that guy's name? Ryan Cabrera.
On the Way Down. I like that one.
On the Way Down. That was a cool song. That was such a time in music, the early 2000s. Yeah. I feel like that song was actually great.
No, like, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't like Ashley Simpson at that time. It's just that I'm a dude. There are like two of my older brothers, so they don't let me live that down. Where it's just like, mom, it says Linkin Park. It says Simple Plan. Where? Where? And she's like, well, one day when you're in the car, you're. I was like, that was between me and you. Like, what are you doing? Don't bring that here to this kitchen table. Like, you know, come on. Yeah, Ryan Cabrera has a few good ones. I think there's another one, like 40 Kinds of Sadness. That's a really good one.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah. But the one that I remember, I think I purchased on my own, with my own money. And I remember this was the first time on like MP3s and that came out. And I was like, I downloaded it, but then I wanted to put it over. But like, it was something like I just didn't want to download things off my computer. I was like, I wanted to find a way to have the album, but it's just on my MP3. I think it was like John Mayer. There's like a, now it's like, Your Body is a Wonderland. Like, I know maybe John Mayer probably has his own little thoughts on that one, but I was just like, dude, that song got me into John Mayer. And then, you know,
I mean, I mean that generation of Mayer was so good. Like, before that album came out, the album's called Room for Squares. And before that album came out, he was playing in Atlanta, Georgia, at a place called Eddie's Attic. And it was like a small club. I think maybe, I don't know, it holds like not a lot of people.
Yeah.
But whoever was running the mixing board was recording these shows and uploading it to like Napster or like LimeWire. And like all of these concerts before Room for Squares came out were up there. And at the time, you know, as a kid, I was like, man, I love Dave Matthews. And I had found, you know, these John Mayer, and I was like, who's John Mayer? And I found these, like, you know, Why Georgia Why and 3x5, and like, you know, what are these songs? This guy is so incredible. Like, the guitar playing is so cool. And, you know, before that, there really wasn't a guy, in my opinion, that was kind of comparable or in that lane. Like, he played guitar as good as Eric Clapton, but he sang, you know, like in like a weird way that I hadn't really heard. So I totally agree. I think that Room for Squares album probably was like one of the most influential bodies of work that made me want to be a songwriter.
There's one song that I think he does live. I think it's in LA that, like, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but I remember first listening to it. Like, I like his album stuff, but his live stuff is just as good. But I think I don't want to move to LA anymore or something. Like, I think that's how it begins, but it's like so powerful when he does it acoustically. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're saying generation wise, like, again, I'm not saying like they're hand in hand, but for us, I'd grow, say, John Mayer is like that crossover for me. Yep. But there's probably a generation out there now that are just like, yeah, John Mayer is good, but like, have you heard Ed Sheeran? I'm just like, yeah. And Ed Sheeran's like almost like a product of John Mayer, I would say. But like, I feel like
John Mayer is probably like, and he's probably a product of like Gordon Lightfoot, or he's probably like a product of Eric Clapton or Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the cool thing about music, is it just like continues to inspire people and, you know, take what you can from other people and, you know, create your own little thing and then put it out in the world.
yeah, every generation is different, but I do like that, like the next generation of the past kind of references the next one. And then sometimes it helps because I like Luke Combs. I like Tracy Chapman's version of Fast Car. But if my niece or nephew finds out of who Tracy Chapman is through Luke Combs' version, good enough for me.
I mean, that's cool. I feel like everybody under the sun has covered Fast Car, but I think Luke Combs did a really good job of it.
That's a hard, like, there are songs that, you know, like, there's such a high standard.
So
that you're like, it, like, I'm not, like, and sometimes it's like some of the best people try to do the cover and you're like, it's just, and it's nothing against you. I can still listen to like your library, but this is just not what it is. So like when Luke Combs was doing the version, I was like, oh fuck. I was just like, you have such a good library. I'm like, this is going to be hard, but he did a great kind of his own version to it.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool.
Have you ever wanted to do a version of someone else's song and you're just like, man, I don't have the chops for it. Or you're just like last minute. You're like, fuck. No.
Honestly, I'm so bad at covering songs. Like the reason why I wrote songs is because I wasn't good at covering other people's music. I was just like, it's so hard to learn. So bad at it. Like, I'm just like not good at covering people. It's like, I do like my thing, how I do it. And like, I can't really, like, I've never been able to do a cover. I'm so bad at covers. I just stick with what I'm comfortable with.
I want to kind of go, I guess, through, like, this is going to kind of be like my own selfish personal reasons, but like, take me through basically, I guess, We Are Stars to basically time of maybe like how the both songs were created, a little bit of maybe how you changed over time, like in just your process. Because I know, like I said, going from interview one compared to interview, I guess this was like 206 at this point now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Things change. Yeah. Like things change. Your whole like perspective changes. One time I used to be like super prepped and then people would be like, you're over prepped. You're going in linear order. It doesn't make sense. Mm. Over time, I'm like, well, what do you want me to do differently to like just be you? And that's tough to kind of figure out how to be yourself in an industry that's like, well, especially everyone's trying to be themselves.
I feel like when you're doing long format conversation too, it's just so exposed. It's like,
yeah,
I can imagine. It's probably, you know, when you examine that, it's probably a little difficult.
But like, take me through your process of like, I guess from We Are Stars to time.
Well, We Are Stars was like the very beginning. I had no idea like how a professional record should be recorded. You know what I mean? It was like, I was like making demos. I'd written, you know, I don't know, probably 60 songs that were like not very good. And I was kind of, you know, at the crux of like, you know, am I going to just like pack this in and get back to my day job or like what's going on? Like I couldn't really like get any momentum. And actually one of the guys that wrote Texas Hold'em, a good friend of mine, Nathan Ferrero, he was in a band called the Midway State. Him and I were, you know, just hanging out at the studio one day. And I was reading a book called The Power of a Positive Mental Attitude. And there was like a parable in there that kind of talked about, you know, perspective and, you know, how if you take like a top down look at your life, you know, you can kind of see things a little bit more clearly. But when you're in the moment, it's kind of hard to, you know, see through the other side. And I wanted to write a song that kind of like explained that, like, you know, that difficulty of a young person, you know, trying to achieve their dreams. And so We Are Stars doesn't mean like we're celebrity. It means, you know, we're all made from the same stuff.
Okay.
You know, and it's about perspective. And time is like, you know, I feel like We Are Stars, Betterman, and Time all live in the same universe where they're, you know, they're not love songs. They're really like opinions about life and timestamps from when I lived them. Like 24, I was like freaking out thinking like, am I going to be able to do this? Like, does anyone care?
Yeah.
And Betterman was like, okay, I got to like take a deeper look at myself and like figure out where I've veered off track and figure out how to, you know, how to take the good and leave the bad and you know, figure that part out. And then Time is kind of like, you know, a chapter at the end of an era for me that's, you know, kind of like, hey, here's how I experienced the last decade and here's my thoughts. It's more of a recap. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the end of a book the final chapter that just kind of like explains, you know, wraps it all up. So now when I get into the new, you know, new Virginia to Vegas music, it's like a new start, a fresh start.
Are you telling me you're going country too?
No. I'm not going country, but I love country music. I mean, if you listen to most Virginia to Vegas lyrics, if you just read them and put them over country chords, you know, it's like
someone, you just gave someone an idea now for their Instagram. Like someone's going to be out there. Like I was listening to this interview that he was doing with his Tobin Tonight guy. And I decided to go back and now you're going to listen like, we are stars. We are. And
I mean, maybe not we are stars, but like Better Man for sure is a country song. A better lover, better brother, better friend. It's like,
you just, and we are in a world of AI. So you don't know. Like I stumbled across before I came onto here, someone had Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles, but Kanye's version.
Wow.
And that's that's interesting. I do like though that you just mentioned Midway State, because I found this while we were like taking the time, but I actually downloaded or purchased their song like Atlantic, and it shows you like 2011.
I love that song. I mean, that was such an era. I thought, you know, Nate Ferrero was like such a good front man when he was in that role. And, you know, Nate, like Dave, you know, transitioned into writer producer behind the scenes, like both Daves, like Dave Thompson and like Dave Vegas, transitioned into that kind of writer producer world, you know, with Grace. But I remember being in 2011, hanging out with Nate Ferrero and just being like, this guy is so cool. He like walked into a room and he had a crazy cool hair, and you know, people just like noticed him and he kind of like floated through a room. And so, yeah, I mean, Midway State to me, I was, you know, pretty nerdy about that because I thought that band was so cool. And I, you know, later on went on to produce almost every single one of my records with Mike Wise, the guitar player of Midway State.
I will say, like, when I listened to Atlantic, that like now over time, I thought like where the Arkells are, I thought that they would be like on par, because I thought like just Atlantic to me was like kind of a setting stone of like you needed like a good song to kind of get anyone interested in a band, right? And then I just thought like this is the song that now I'm going to go down and like listen to other songs to theirs, and I'll probably be like the friend in the group that's like, they're like, no, I don't really like this song. I'm like, no, it's great. And here's why, because they got five. It's like Fall Out Boy for me. Like they're definitely Fall Out Boy songs that people don't really like, but because I have so much of them in my album, I'm just like, not their best, but I still like it.
I think if you go back and listen to Paris or India, the album that Atlantic was on, like if you like Coldplay, you're going to like that album. Like if you like that style of music at that time, that album was like perfect. And I remember when Nate and I went into a session for the first time, you know, because we were friends for a while and we didn't write together. But when we did go into a session, I kind of told him, I was like, bro, like when I bought Paris or India, the album, it was the same day I bought Mumford and Sons and the same day I bought M83. So like I put you in the same world, you know, it with those artists, which are massive, you know, international artists. But I think the thing was, is Midway State was, you know, a Canadian band. And a lot of times Canadian bands have a really hard time breaking through that next thing. I don't think it had anything to do with how good they were, because that band was incredible.
Well, it's interesting because the other band that came to mind, like, again, going through a time frame of like radio, it's like We Are Young. I think that's one of their songs. I think it's Fun. And then like years later, I had messaged one of my friends and I'm just like, you know, the guy from the Bleachers was in Fun, but like he's not the lead singer, but he's like he was in the band. And the Bleachers have some good songs too. But I'm just like, it's just weird to think of a time frame where it's like Fun was always on the radio. You'd hear it. At first you're like, yeah, I like this song. Then after a while, you're like, okay, fucking play something else. Like I'm done with the song.
Well, now go back and look at a band called The Format.
Okay.
And The Format was the lead singer of Fun.
Yeah.
Before he went into pop music, when they were like an indie rock band, probably same era as Sif Jan Stevens. So pretty cool. Pretty cool music from The Format that I discovered, you know, via MySpace as a teenager, just scouring the internet for like what's cool and interesting.
Oh yeah, you can go down through a rabbit. Well, I feel like there's a generation now which I'm kind of ties it all in a whole. Like we would go through MySpace to find like artists or like someone would show you like, yeah, this is gonna be like the song to my MySpace because it's so cool and no one understands me. And it's like, you know, like no one's gonna understand the song. And I was like, okay. But like there's a generation out there now that like you go on Instagram, it's like, if you like this band and blah blah blah, I'm like, please. And then I'll go listen to it. I'm like, you know what? It's actually not that bad. Like it's actually I don't know if you know this person, but it's like Knox. That's how I stumbled across Knox through like Instagram. And there's like a whole bunch of songs that are like kind of like punk pop.
Yeah.
But like I liked one song and it referenced the 1975. And then I was like, okay, you've got me hooked because I like the 1975. And then it just spiraled from there.
I mean, it's a great record. That song's blowing up right now. It's huge. Not the 1975. It's a great record.
Hello, I'm Wendy Mesley.
There you are. A lot of people have wondered what happened to you.
I could say the same about you, Maureen Holloway.
Well, here we are, a few years after we left our previous jobs. We've been busy.
We have a podcast. I know, you're thinking, who doesn't? But ours is really good. It's called Women of Ill Repute.
We don't just talk to women, though. Just the most interesting people you'd ever want to meet.
Artists, musicians, comedians, doctors.
Activists, convicts, writers, sex workers.
Drop some names.
Jan Arden, Pamela Anderson, Bruce Coburn.
Samantha Irby, Louise Penny, Marilyn Dennis, Colin Mochrie.
We laugh, we cry, sometimes we argue. Come and find us.
Our website is womenofillrepute.com.
Or try Apple, Spotify, and all the podcast places.
So now you know what happened to us. Women of Ill Repute.
Yeah, but that's just how it is. Like I would stumble across, I think, years ago, and it's changing in the landscape too, but it's like, I believe on MySpace, I came across 10 Second Epic and Scouting for Girls. One was from like the UK, and I think they were kind of like, didn't think I was a real like 12-year-old, but I would write them and they're just like, I just heard you when I was working at Athlete's World, and I think you're the greatest. And they're just like, what the fuck's Athlete's World? I'm just like, it's like a shoe place in Canada. And they're like, cool. I'm like, do you think you'll ever tour here? And they're just like, sure. I'm sure they're at one point, they're like, this is our audience, a 12-year-old, like some 12-year-old in Newfoundland.
Hey, man. I mean, I think they might have loved that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just the fact that like someone from across the world was like, you know, paying attention. It's hard. You know, being an artist is hard.
Yeah.
And like you have moments where, I mean, there's other jobs that are a lot harder, but it's hard to do, you know, the perseverance thing. And like, you know, just having someone reach out can really change your day. You could be having an awful day and be like, man, do I stink at this? And someone's like, hey, I heard your song and it, you know, made me feel this or reminded me of that. And it's like, that might be the enough fuel to get that person going to the next day and trying one more song or trying one more thing.
Or you go through your inbox and you're just like, oh, Tobin again. Fuck.
Never.
I want to ask you, we're going to play like a fun game of random questions to close it out. But before we do, have you ever had that kind of experience where like someone would reach out to you and you were having like a bad day? It doesn't have to be a 12-year-old, but someone just reached out and like, I know you probably get a lot of messages, but like you stumbled across one for some reason and you're kind of like, I'm glad I found this one today. And if you did, kind of break it down.
I think a lot of men, like post 20s, reached out to me about Better Man.
Okay.
And you know how they thought that the lyrics of that song articulated something that they were trying to do. And you know, to me, Better Man is so autobiographical. So, you know, I wasn't writing it as poetry. I was writing it from personal experience and like really trying to like figure out how to be a better version of myself to my family and to myself. And I think like a lot of guys kind of resonated with that lyric, and it kind of just, you know, it made me kind of like shift who I wanted to be as an artist. And you know, I stopped caring so much about like just fun songs and realized that like, hey, there's a little bit of importance to like writing stories that connect with people. And it just kind of made me want to dive a little bit deeper. And I feel like that record and the connections that I had through that were great, like really great and touching, you know, when someone's like, hey man, like I've been going through a hard time and this track kind of made me want to like wake up tomorrow and try a little harder. And like, that's so hard to like, that's such a, first of all, to just say that to another human that you don't know is like such an, yeah, it's such an incredible thing to do.
Yeah.
To be so vulnerable and exposed, which is amazing that, you know, you can do that. So just, that is just lovely. That song was just so important to me, for me and for the connection it had with other people. I just think it's like, it really made me like want to appreciate Virginia to Vegas even more, just because I think it's, you know, I'm Derek.
Yep.
And I am also Virginia to Vegas, but like, you know, like it's something I've done for 10 years and Virginia to Vegas just keeps surprising me and keeps me working harder and harder. It's really lovely. You know, one of my good friends in Nashville always said to me, like, your only currency is your songs. Yeah. And you're only as good as the last song you wrote. So I think like for any artist that's like getting into like, you know, a long career, I guess the barometer might get harder because you're like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, how do I keep writing, you know, good songs? And that's the thing, is you just have to keep trying. It's like, you know, the first song that you did that like took off, you have to put the same amount of detail into the last song you did.
And that's tough.
But you can't assume that your audience is, you know, just going to be there because, you know, they like you. It's like, you gotta give them a good song. Yeah. You know what I mean? You gotta give them something to be a part of their life.
Yeah. That sounds perfect. We'll close it off with like a game of, I'm just going to give you three random questions to begin the game of random questions. Tell me about your, I guess, worst time or your first experience of doing a show live.
Oh gosh. The worst time, probably grade 9 talent show, just absolutely getting booed on stage. Cause I was just trying to be some emo guy that was like, I don't know what I was trying to do at the time, but it was like, it wasn't working. It wasn't connecting. And I literally got booed on stage. So that was for sure. Like, but you know what? You learn more from your failures than you do your successes. So that made me work a little harder.
That is true. Do you have like, I guess, a random item or anything that you either like take on tour with you or like something that you kind of feel like comfort zone with?
I have a Bluetooth speaker that I've had, I think, since like the first tour or maybe the second tour. It's like a little Bose speaker and it's nice. You know, like it's kind of just traveled with me. It always goes in my backpack. And I think the thing about being on the road or being on tour is like, it's little micro comforts that are things that like make you feel like a little bit of normalcy. So that just having that speaker there and being able to like, you know, be in the green room and, you know, have my little playlist on and just like, you know, take a moment for myself or, you know, take a shower and put some meditation music on just so I can like calm the brain or, you know, so that's probably like something that, you know, because at the end of the day, I still love music. You know, so like I enjoy it for myself too, as well as like, you know, creating it. So it's like just having that like really kind of calms me down and, you know, puts me in a good, you know, a good place to be able to go and give people my energy, you know?
I used to think, so this is like 10 years ago, and I think I only got out of it in the last maybe 3 years, but I used to be backpack guy where like no matter where I went. But it wasn't like
a backpack.
And most times it was just like, cause where I have like Sturge Weber and sometimes I get like anxiety. I was just like, maybe it's just water in the backpack. It could be just like a baby aspirin, just like more or less of like worst case scenario.
I have things.
Right. And then like over time, it's, you'd just be going out with like friends to like a Christmas Eve, like dinner or something. I'd be like, it sounds like you're still in university. You carry this backpack. And I'm just like, well, your Christmas cards are in here. And then, you know, just in case something goes wrong, I'm covered. And then it became a thing where it's just like, yeah, don't worry. Brian has things in his backpack. So worst thing happens. And then like, I guess 3 years ago or something, I just kind of like, let's try going out without the backpack.
Nice.
And like, it was nervous. But then after a while, I'm just like, know your spots. So if you're out and about and you need like water, there's a needs. There's like a fucking convenience store. Like, don't worry. Now, if you're on a bus and you start to panic, you're just like, I have a water bottle with me. Worst case scenario, I get tired of carrying it. I can just like, it's just like getting your mind to process. Like, don't like, you have options. Like, worst case scenario, you're covered. So then now it just more or less becomes a thing of like, now where I'm driving around, I'm like, emergency backup water bottle, emergency this in the car. But it's like, okay, I'm at least sound. I'm getting there.
That's great, man. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I can imagine that, like, you know, little anxieties can, you know, really creep up. I feel like for me on tour, especially, like, yeah, it's nice to, like, when you're in an unpredictable environment, to have things that you can depend on. So I can, you know, I can relate to that in a way.
The last one here is like, do you have like a funny story from your childhood that like, when it gets brought up, you either like kind of smile or laugh, or you're like, oh man, this is so embarrassing. I can give you mine before, while you think, but I used to have for Christmas, they gave you a little radio thing that you could like talk into. Cause I was like really into radio.
Yeah.
So you could pick a static station and play it. And my mom would put me in the room and she's just like, yeah, we'll listen to you downstairs. And I was like, this is great. So I used to have all like albums and you could like throw it up and throw in like Backstreet Boys, whatever. So I'm just like, welcome to like Tobin's radio. And we're going to play like Backstreet Boys Larger Than Life. And then you'd be like, how do I play it? How do I play? Okay, I got to play it. And then you'd go downstairs, like, mom, did you hear me? And she'd be like, yeah, you sound great. And then I found out years later, they fucking can't hear me. It's only my radio because it's fucking plugged into that. Like, you know, see. So it was more or less them just being like, Brian's upstairs. We're going to get rid of him for like an hour and a half. And I was just like, you monsters. But I get, you know, if I get older and have kids, I probably will do the same. I'm just like, yeah, totally. I've seen you play Fortnite. Yeah. I was watching it down here on the big screen. I'll just have like someone else's YouTube channel up and watching them play. Be like, yeah, great kill, buddy.
I think for me, I used to watch a lot of like Elvis Presley movies and I used to just like want to be cool like him. So I feel like I just thought he was so neat. And I probably would sit in front of the TV with my guitar and just like try and emulate him. Cause I always thought Elvis was the man. I was like, wow, this guy's like so cool. He's really got it.
Imagine if that was the career you chose, right? Like, you're still a singer, but like you go with like every now and again in a Virginia Vegas song. You know how like Jason Derulo will do like Jason Derulo. It'd be like, you just go like, Virginia to Vegas, and then they'd just be like, was that his Elvis impression? And you'd be like, why? And he'd be like, well, funny story, I used to listen to Elvis and I wanted to I wanted to find a way to get it in there. And I'd be like, just do a video where you pretend to be Elvis. God, sick of this shit.
Nice.
Thank you so much for doing this, Derek. Finally we got it set up. I thought this was a great conversation.
I had a lovely time.
I'm looking forward to, you know, more music, and then, you know, 10 years time, be like, man, you came out with this song and it really relates to me. You'd be like, Tobin, shut the fuck up. Every song that I come out with relates to you. I'd be like, oh, that's a little bit.
we'll catch you on the next release, Tobin. I appreciate your time, buddy. It was nice chatting with you.
That's going to do it for this episode of Tobin Tonight. Our thanks to Virginia to Vegas for coming on to the show. Remember, you can find past, present, and future episodes on TobinTonight.com, Spotify, and iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and leave a comment or two. For Tobin and myself, this is Jacob saying thank you for listening and good night.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundel from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.